Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our program today will be the third in the study of the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. And the reason we're spending so much time on these first few verses in this chapter, because it deals with something that is highly relevant to every one of us, to every Christian. It seems especially at this period in our history, but it's been something with which Christians have had to deal all down through the ages, and that is their relationship to civil government. Now, we begin today with the fifth verse, as Paul continues his discussion of that relationship. He said, "Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." The Christian here is presented with a double motive for being subject to the higher powers, as Paul has instructed in the first verse of this chapter. And we touch upon these two motives earlier. One, it is for wrath's sake. That means it is to escape the punishment from the civil power. This is one of the obligations of civil government, to punish the evildoer. And our second motive is for conscience' sake. Now, this means that the Christian's conscience is trained according to the will of the Lord. And that will says, obey the laws of the land. So many people do not regard this teaching from Paul. But this dual motive, it directs the Christian, he pays tribute, custom, he pays his taxes. He has respect for the authority of government. He looks upon the function of government as honorable. And he gives honor to those who hold governmental positions, if not for the sake of the person, for the sake of the position. Now, Christians are to render to all what is deserving, and the civil government is deserving of obedience and respect. The support of the citizenry of the civil government is proper, because the civil government is attending continually to the work the Lord has given civil government to do. And that is to protect the citizens and to punish those who are evildoers. Civil affairs, then, are vital. They are necessary to the conduct of an orderly and lawful human existence. Now, we must refrain from any notion of self-defense, because the government is to take care of executing wrath on the evildoer. Some have erroneously concluded that since the government is to do this, it's wrong for a person to ever do that, even to the point of denying the individual of self-defense. Friend, this passage does not teach against self-defense. To take such a position is to add without warrant to the scope and to the realm of the teaching that is embraced in this passage. Let's first note that the matter of self-defense is not under discussion here. What is under discussion is the role of civil government and the Christian's responsibility to that government. It is sometimes taught that the civil government can and does punish the evildoer, to be sure. But this does not preclude the individual under some circumstances protecting himself. Now, you may recall when we were discussing verses 19 through 21 of chapter 12, retaliation is not to be equated with self-defense. Retaliation, vengeance, getting even, evening the score, executing punishment against one who offends you, that's not allowed the Christian as an individual. But God has provided for vengeance and retaliation and punishment. In many instances, the way God has provided is through the long and powerful arm of the civil power. But defending oneself is not the same as retaliating against the evildoer. You see, retaliation is taking the offense yourself, and you reap your own vengeance. Self-defense is warding off offenses. And at times the actions may seem very similar, but the motive behind the actions comes into play. Friend, we realize that there may well be times when one can rely upon the civil power, not only for retaliation against the wrongdoer, but also for protection. But there may be times when you cannot rely upon the civil power for personal protection, because they're simply not present at that particular time that you need that protection. Agencies of the civil power may not be on the scene. And in such circumstances, the Christian is not forbidden to protect himself and to protect his family. It is not expedient in this discussion of chapter 13 to go into all the many parts relating to self-defense, but because chapter 13 is not discussing that self-defense. Now, this chapter is not the entire presentation in Scripture regarding a person's relationship to the government under which he lives. And there are many other questions that can be raised that this particular chapter does not address. But, friend, it is important that we realize we live in the kingdom of God as citizens of God's kingdom. And we live under the power of civil government that God has ordained. The civil government and those who operate at the civil government, they have a responsibility before God to protect the citizens. We're seeing in our time that there are civil government officials that do not protect the citizenry. And people are rioting and causing great destruction and burning and looting and destroying. That's not the way God intends society to exist. The Christian will not be involved in that satanic type of behavior. But the Christian will be obedient and submissive to the laws of the land, so long as they do not demand of him something that will cause him to violate the laws of God. Now, beginning with verse 8, is a matter that we as Christians are not to neglect our obligations. Paul says, "Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." The Christian, he takes care of his obligations. That's a duty that the Christian has. Duty, friend, is a very precious word, and we should respect it. Robert E. Lee said that duty was the most wonderful word in all of our language. Paul says, "Owe no man anything." The Christian does not fail to pay his debts. To fail to pay your debt and to take advantage of others and not repay and to owe them and not take care of your obligation, that's no different from stealing from them. A man is supposed to pay his monetary debts and to fulfill that duty. But man also has the duty to love others. You see, loving is a Christian duty that is a privilege. Love is something that everyone owes everyone else. Man is obligated to treat his fellow man properly. We have the Lord using some of the commandments that the Lord gave to Israel at Mount Sinai to illustrate human relationships. Now, this is not the all-inclusive law of human relationship here, but they show what the apostle was emphasizing in this passage. Man is obligated to treat his fellow man in a proper fashion according to the will of God. And in verse 10, we have a definition of this love. No man can claim to love if he desires and seeks the detriment of some other. Love is the very opposite of that. Love seeks the other's highest good, and this allows no room for doing ill toward another and taking advantage of another. Now, love does not forbid discipline. It does not forbid self-defense. It does not forbid properly executed punishment, even by the civil power. Love does seek the best for the other person, as God's will has determined what is that best. Now, sometimes a person may develop the idea that what he does is altogether his business, and that he can live his life somewhat isolated from others, and he can just do as he pleases. Friend, this is not true. What one does affects others. Each one of us must be mindful of the effect that he has on others, the influence that he has on others. And to the extent his conduct does affect others, to that same extent what he does is somebody else's business. And therefore we are to be careful what we do, because we are to have a consideration for those round about. This is one of the duties that the Apostle Paul is teaching here in Romans chapter 13, when he teaches what those who have taken advantage of the system of salvation must do and how they must live. In verse 11 and 12, Paul says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Friend, in these two verses, Paul is saying, we have an opportunity now, and we'll make the very best of it. We cannot afford the luxury of sleep at a time when we need to be awake and on the job. Each day brings us closer and closer to the ultimate reward of an eternal salvation. And what a tragedy it would be if we neglect so great salvation by our spiritual drowsiness and unconcern. We who are Christians, we cannot afford to do the works of darkness. We cannot afford to perform the deeds of sin and to commit evil. That's foreign to the will of God for the Christian people. And Paul admonishes in verse 13 and 14, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, and fulfill the lust thereof." Well, our time is going to get away with us today. We'll not have the time to discuss what is given here in verses 13 and 14. And in our next program, we're going to be studying these things, because there are things that the Christian must refrain from doing. He is to avoid these things being a characteristic of his life. There are things that the Christian does that makes him different, distinguished, separate, precious in the sight of the Lord. And he has an obligation to live according to the way of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is teaching here in Romans chapter 13. And we need to focus our attention upon these words and do all our best to live according to the fashion that the apostle has outlined for the Christian. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time, Jim Boyd is your speaker.